should be coming up here, I hope. I'm with the Department of Community and Environmental Health at Boise State University, and the project that I will be presenting here in just a moment represents a collaboration, actually, with the Office of Performance Evaluations of the Idaho State Legislature. And the Office of Performance Evaluations is it's a legislative auditing group, actually, that takes its orders from a subcommittee of the Idaho State Legislature. And it usually is asked to look at programs and services that are funded by the state that have an impact on services that are provided to Idahoans. And this project, which is intended to look at some management practices and how they might affect turnover and retention in an organization, actually comes from a legislative audit of the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare. As many of you probably know, turnover is a terrific problem in the public sector, the nonprofit sector. It is to some extent, too, I'm sure, in the private sector, but it's particularly bad in the so-called helping agencies or the helping organizations that often can't pay quite as well as the private sector and have some other challenges associated with them. Turnover, I suppose, wouldn't be a problem if there weren't any consequences associated with it, but there are. And a lot of them are very serious and very negative, not only for the organization, but also for the people that that organization serves. Some of the problems that have been associated with turnover have been particularly well documented in a number of fields. And these are listed here. You see it a lot, probably the most in nursing. There's an entire literature on some of the problems associated with turnover in nursing, but you could see it all in some of these other professions as well, in public health, in social work, in child welfare, and so forth. Some of the documented consequences in a number of scientific articles include those that are on the screen right there. Obviously, it's a particular problem when experienced workers are replaced with inexperienced ones. There are a lot of costs that are associated with training new workers, which is not a good thing for the organization. There's obviously increased workload for those that remain. I'm sure a number of you have worked in the helping fields, and you know how that goes when you get to pick up someone else's caseload for an extended period of time. And also, from the client's perspective, discontinuity of services can represent a terrific problem. There is quite a literature out there on how turnover rates and also turnover intentions, which pretty much means people responded to a survey that they don't plan to stay at an organization or a job particularly long, have been tied to some things like morale and job satisfaction. As you might expect, employees who report that they have high morale and high job satisfaction are particularly likely to stay, and those that report having low indicators on those things are much more likely to leave. So some of the literature out there suggests that one way to reduce turnover would be to improve morale and job satisfaction when possible. And that kind of spurred our investigation in this particular area. Really, this study was to understand what dynamic was taking place in the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare, which is the largest public agency in the state of Idaho. And the Joint Legislative Oversight Committee asked this Office of Performance Evaluations, or OPE, to look into what's happening within this organization in 2005. Very high turnover rates. A number of service complaints and these kinds of things. So an investigation was done in 2005. A follow-up investigation was done in 2007 after there had been some changes in the organization and things looked a lot better. So really what we're going to be looking at today is what could account for some of these differences between when things were really bad in 2005 and when things seemed substantially improved in 2007. And how both of these investigations, well, actually, they were multifaceted evaluations of health and welfare both years, but the part that I was involved in and some of my colleagues were involved in were employee surveys that were sent out over kind of this info web that the organization has. And individuals had an opportunity to complete these 61 items that were organized in these five subscales. They all had good internal reliability consistency, so we're pretty confident with the value of those subscales. But they were looking at perceptions of management and leadership, workload and staffing, policies and training, agency communication. That probably would have been better called intra-agency communication. Really wasn't much of a focus on interagency. And also morale and job satisfaction. And really that last one is the one that had been focused on mostly in literature. So these surveys were sent out. Invitations and unique identifiers were sent out via the internet to all of these individuals. You can see that an awful lot of people completed these. There's about 2,500 employees in that organization at both times. And it's a little disturbing that the response rate was quite a bit lower the second go around. I'm not sure really what accounted for that. But the neat thing, I think, about this study is we actually captured the perceptions of people in a lot of different areas. You can see, you know, we had some public health nurses, we had social workers in the welfare area, we had mental health counselors and behavioral health, child protective workers. So it was really kind of a broad sample. And I think that enabled us to do some things that haven't been done so much in the past. But anyways, these are some responses in 2005 when things were really pretty ragged within that organization. I thought that was a time indicator. Hopefully it wasn't. Okay, fantastic. In 2005, over 90% of the individuals that responded to the survey said turnover is a big problem for this organization, not only for them, but also for the clients that they serve. And then we went ahead and asked, okay, what are some of the reasons why people leave this organization? And we had to go through and do a content analysis. It was an open-ended questionnaire, but you can clearly see that some were quite common. Low pay is kind of an interesting one that emerges in lots of studies of turnover. And unfortunately, that's not really something that we could work with very much with this organization because the state mandates how much you pay people in the organization. But there are other things that management obviously would have some more control over, level of stress at work, the workload, perceptions of the management, and some of those kinds of things. So this is kind of the baseline, so to speak. It's where we started. In 2007, we were able to track turnover rates, and they really went down, fortunately. And also perceptions that turnover in the organization has a very negative effect also were significantly lower, which is a good thing, I think. And those improvements were accompanied by a number of changes within the organization. And we like to think anyway, of course you can't prove causation, we don't have any random assignment here, but we like to think that some of these changes in turnover are associated with some organizational changes. And of course we could test that with correlations and regression and stuff. But in any case, here are going to be the five subscales and where we saw improvements related to turnover predicted by some changes within the organization, or at least perceptions on a survey of changes within the organization. See, really positive perceptual changes on this management and leadership scale, overall quality of leadership provided to employees. That was especially important at the highest levels of management, which is kind of interesting because it's not what you always see in these organizational studies. Usually the direct supervisors have the greatest influence over people's perceptions, but here there were some changes at the highest levels of management, and those really seem predictive of lower turnover rates, confidence in management decision-making, making goals and objectives clear. These are things that managers can do even if they have no control over the pay. Workload and staffing. I think the thing that emerged most here and that managers in any organization really would have some control over is just a perception that management is actually watching to see what the workloads are like and trying to make changes when they are appropriate. The perception that management doesn't really know what's going on down here, management doesn't really care, seems to be particularly toxic when it comes to turnover. And of course, perception of having enough time to complete one's task is very important in respect to turnover too. With respect to the policies and training subscale, the sense that, fairness was the thing that really emerged there. The sense that the employee grievance process was equitable and fair, that didn't really exist in 2005. There were some perceptions of bias that existed in there that seemed to be cleaned up in 2007, and that was certainly associated with the decrease in turnover. And also decisions about promotion and merit pay. When people think that those things are done fairly, they're more likely to want to stay with the organization. And again, that's something that managers have some level of control over. Agency communication, you can really see that when employees have the general sense that management is providing enough information for them to do their jobs well, that's a good thing. And also look at the climate stuff here. When one has a perception that the workplace climate is pretty good here, that management encourages my feedback and won't retaliate against me, depending on what that feedback is, tends to be associated with lower turnover. Lastly, this morale and job satisfaction. This is the one area that a lot of other researchers seem to have looked at in the past, but really what we found seems to be very consistent with what others have reported. When individuals stated that their job satisfaction was high, when they thought the level of morale in the organization were good, things tended to work out relatively well. And also, feeling valued by the agency at large, not your direct supervisor, not the people that you have in daily contact with, but by the organization as a whole. If you feel valued by that organization, people are more likely to stay, which obviously would be a good thing in an organization like this. So the underlying theme here is that management does have a good deal of control within the health and welfare organizations over some things associated with turnover. Pay and other compensation, you may not have control over that like you would in private industry because you just don't have that much control over the way the wages are set and the insurance package and all that stuff. But some other things management does have some good control over. And we've listed some of these just in bullet points here. These are really just a synopsis of some of the findings that were listed before. But if people feel like they're being led well, if they feel like their workload is being monitored and adjusted as the case may need to be, that there are enough people around to complete the task so individuals don't feel overburdened and so forth, and also just a general sense that I'm fairly treated and I'm valued in an organization. Those are things that are likely to have very positive influences on the level of morale in an organization and also on the level of turnover that exists as well. Okay, that really is the end. I kind of tried to move that along a little bit quickly just so there's time for, how long did that?
You did a fine job.
Okay. 13 minutes. Fantastic. Would we like to delay questions to the end? Or? Okay, actually, if you would like to ask any questions, I would be happy to answer those at this time. Yes?
A lot of these surveys give the result that there's a lot of stress on the job.
Yep.
Have you been able to parse out components of stress and address those rather than generalize sort of perception of stress?
You know, we had several items on the survey that we were able to just correlate with stress to try to understand what some of those might be. The largest stressor that I can remember as an individual item indicator was workload, where individuals felt the workload was high, that increased their amount of stress. We did have some additional questions that asked about how management directly interacted with staff. Those were mostly sub-items on that greater management and leadership subscale. And a lot of those really predicted stress, too, with the way that one is spoken to and the perception that, you know, my employer values me and those kinds of things. Yes? You know, that is a very good point. That one was actually a 7-point Likert scale. A lot of these are, and so we really, it would be very interesting to ask, what does that mean to feel valued? What is it that leads one to feel valued? In the context of this project, we did not break that down, but it would be wise to do so. Yes?
I have a question similar to this.
Okay. You know, we were actually. We did some, how we developed a lot of these questions was through some focus group interviews. And that came up a ton. The sense that, you know, Idaho, first of all, is kind of a low tax-based state, and I don't think the organization's particularly well staffed to begin with. it's probably true of other states and federal level as well, but there was that real sense that we're being asked to do more with less year after year, that whatever incremental increases in budget, if any, were not nearly enough to deal with new challenges. So I think certainly that's something that we heard within the context of that overall evaluation. We didn't really tease it out so much in this survey project. Was there a... Yeah. You know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I think I think what you said probably explains things fairly well in this study, even though by far the largest thing that people said, I think, influences turnover within this organization. Pay didn't improve that much between 2005 and 2007, but a lot of other things did change. There was a new director who was very explicit about, hey, I want to hear what your thoughts are out there from those in the trenches. There was a lot of positive feedback. So here we see this statistically significant change, and I don't think it was because of the pay. I think it was because of the things that you were talking about right there. Yes. Yeah, that I think oftentimes we think that there has to be something really major happening, but some of just those small human things seem to really have an impact. And it may be those of us that go into the human and the helping disciplines that we don't really care as much about the big money. We wouldn't have gone into these fields to begin with if that's what we were looking for. Sure. Oh, yeah. Interesting.
At the employee level, so we found that by valuing them for what their staff it kind of went downward.
Neat. Well, that's got very important implications for high levels of management. Are we still okay? I think there may be one more question. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's certainly true. There were, as I recall, some kind of workshops in which professional development days, those kinds of things, in which the new management took time to really get to know the members of the organization and to make clear that it was their perceptions that were leading to some of these organizational changes. So I think there was a real demonstrated level of sensitivity to some of those concerns, and I'm sure the managers had to articulate, hey, I'm sorry, I don't have some control over certain things. How much money the legislature gives us is how much we have to work with, and I realize it's probably not enough, but nevertheless, we are sensitive to some of your concerns, and we'll do the best we can to address them. You know, I did not bring copies of my slide, and I apologize for that. I think for many of you, this can be accessed off the web. But if not, you can certainly contact me, Ted McDonald. I'm with the Department of Community and Environmental Health at Boise State University, and I'd be happy to send you that stuff.
Thanks, Ted. Next, we have Bill Maith, and he will take it from there.
Good morning.